Kayla, what's up?
Hello, hello.
What's going on?
Nothing. Can you hear me?
We just I can hear you.
Okay. I'm trying to get my volume up. Here we go.
Nadine's in the building.
Hey there.
Hi,
What's
Nadine.
up, Nadine? Nadine, meet Kayla. Kayla, that's Nadine.
Hi, Kayla.
Hi, Nadine. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
We're just waiting for two more, and we're gonna get it. We're gonna get it started. Instead of staying, who love purple?
That's me, Heather, Jeff.
Oh, Heather, what's up, Heather?
Hi.
Heather, meet Nadine and Kayla. Kayla and Nadine, that's Heather.
Hi,
Hi, how
Heather.
are
Hey.
And Jackie's in the building. We all here. Jackie, meet Heather, Nadine, and Kayla.
Hello,
Everybody,
ladies. Nice
Jackie.
to meet you.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, so first and foremost, ladies, thank you so much for being on the Good and Bad podcast show. I am the host, Jeff Etienne, and I really appreciate y'all being on this. I've actually wanted to do this ever since all this broke out.
Is that you with the poor connection?
Thank you for having me.
Nah, that ain't me with the poor connection. Cause my joint on Wi-Fi.
Well, there's a static going on.
It's
Yeah, that's
either
true. I do.
static or is someone typing? It might be someone typing and listening at the same time.
Got it. So if you have your phone, you can put your phone on off or silent, and that won't
Yeah.
happen.
But it's still there, so maybe I don't know.
Hold on, let me see. You know what I think it is? Believe it or not, it might be Kayla. It might be you, because when you first called in, that's when the static started coming
Do
in.
you want me to hang up and then try calling back in, see if that helps?
Yeah, see if that helps. A lot of the times, it said for Anchor, like it's best if you're on a Wi-Fi because it's stronger. So I don't know if all y'all are on Wi-Fi, or if you're not, but whatever.
I was gonna say, I'm just on my phone connection, so I'm gonna hang up and then log into my Wi-Fi and then call back in. All
Yes,
right,
do that.
perfect.
All right. So in the meantime, she's doing that. I'm gonna wait till she calls back in, so that way, she doesn't play catch up or anything like that.
Yes.
Jackie, you were at the protest yesterday, which I had said to you, I ain't going because black people don't know how to protest peacefully.
Yeah, right. Well, not right, but I have to say, when I got there early enough, it was peaceful. It was powerful. It had meaning, right? But I feel and so we were there, and then all of a sudden, around what 8 o'clock, 7 something, 8 o'clock, this mob of people came from out of nowhere. Right. So I don't know, and that's when everything started getting violent. So I think there was two groups with two different agenda. And I think that that's what's happening at a lot of these protests, where there's just two groups with two different agenda.
Which is true, because that's what I've been reading online on like social media is a lot of these states where the looting and the rioting happened, they said that it's people who are from like who aren't from that state, who go there from like another state and decide, hey, I'm gonna come out here and just cause ruckus.
Right. And you know what? I was surprised. I saw a lot of when it was a lot of white folks.
Which is dope.
Which
You know
is dope.
what
Which is dope. So, but they were, that's what the majority, when I saw like the chaos and happening, I was like, oh my gosh, they're actually fighting out here.
mean? And I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, I heard the riot, I mean, all the drama started because they wanted the police officers to kneel for the, in remembrance of, Floyd. And Is that true? And I guess the cops wouldn't kneel, so then they decided they're gonna, you know, tear down the fence that the cops were like behind. Wasn't it like on the state house steps or something like that?
Yeah, listen, the Boston police were very aggressive. Again, I left when things started getting out of control, but once I started seeing and putting things together, the police, you know, I guess they were probably told, you know, just fuck them up. You know, because that's the approach that they took, right? So, but the protesters were very disrespectful, where I think that the line, you know, we because not every cop are those cops, you know what I mean? So it's a level of respect, and it wasn't there mutually.
That's, yeah, I agree with that. Now, one person that I actually want to talk is Heather.
Yes.
Heather was like one of the first to, you know, to voice, you know what I mean, her opinion about, you know, what's about, you know, like everything that's been going on. You know what I mean? And Heather had said, Heather has two girls. They're both, you know, half black, half white. And Heather said herself, she's had to deal with cops, you know, mistreating her also. So, you know what I mean, Heather, you know, talk to us about that.
Yes, in both of my instances, one was a state trooper and the other was a correctional officer when I was in the county jail. And they both used excessive force and improper protocol.
All right, I think I'm back.
And I should have had a female officer in the first place. So, I in the end result, I pled out guilty to two misdemeanor assault charges. So I myself can't go out there and protest because if anything does get violent and I do incur another charge, I would, you know, end up in the state prison for 5 years. So.
Okay, so now you see now that right there is interesting. You know what I mean? And the reason why I say it's interesting is because you see now that we heard, you know, your situation, that right there lets you know that, you know, with everything, all right, so with everything that's been going on, one of the biggest things that people have been saying is white people, y'all need to speak out. Y'all need to, you know, post on social media. If you're not going to post, I don't know why it's so huge, but they say, oh, if white people aren't going to speak out on social media against this, then that means you're for it. You know what I mean? And you accept it.
No, not at all.
But yet
I fear for my daughters every day, you know? And
yeah, see, and you know, for that reason right there, you just said yourself, you know, this is the reason why I cannot go out and protest.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we don't know all white people's situations for people to just right away be like, hey, if you're not speaking out, that means you're for it.
Oh, no. Yeah, not at all. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little shy about speaking about it because, you know, I can't even get a job nowadays because of, you know, the charges that I have incurred and everything. So, but I mean, I don't mind speaking out. I definitely fear for my daughters and, you know, it's not just police officers, you know. I'm living in a small central Maine town now, and you know, I mean, you know, racism occurs, you know, with the next door neighbor. So, you know, obviously dealing with the state trooper and the correctional officer. I was at a different stage of my life where I was at a more reactive stage in the fight or flight response, and I was more of a fighter. So, I mean, I was never told by either officer to stop, freeze, you're under arrest, or stop what you're doing. The state trooper had me on the ground, and he was, you know, giving me body shots, you know, and my oldest daughter was on his back, you know, yelling at him to get off her mother. And it was just an unpleasant event, you know?
Yeah. That's scary too. Cause it was done in front of your daughter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely scary.
So now Kayla, you and I had one of like the longest conversations about, you know, you know, speaking out, you know, how, you know, you being, you know, that, you know, you being white and the fact that, you know, hey, since you're not posting on social media about this, then that means you're a racist also. And you basically explain, like, listen, I'm totally against it. And this is why I have not been, you know, posting all over social media about it. So you can tell everybody, you know, why that is in your situation. Absolutely.
So whenever, how I feel my situation is if I don't post, then I am racist. I am supporting police brutality. I am now against. If I do post, if I do say something, it's, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand because you're white. So it's, I kind of had to pick between, do I stay quiet and know what I believe, know what I hold my household accountable to with their thoughts and actions, or do I say something and hope for the best? I did post something on Instagram. I will say that my Instagram is 90% friends and family. They know what I stand behind, how strongly I stand behind it. But the thing that I posted was kind of helping everyone understand the purpose of the protesting, more so than saying, I'm going to go to a protest, I'm going to join whatever riot, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. My goal was to help people understand what the problem is, why it should not be a problem, and move forward from there. So that was kind of my way of trying to reach everyone without being thrown directly into it, to either label myself as racist or as someone who doesn't know what they're talking about because I'm white.
Good point. Very good point. Now, there was something that you had told me about. Now, you have two boys. You have one who's 10 and correct. 13? 10 and 12? 10 and 13. And you had told me both of them experienced, well, one of them experienced, you know, quote and unquote racism. And another one stuck up for somebody who was being, who was having a racist act. So, you know,
absolutely. Tell them about that. So in my household, both of my kids are raised as everyone is equal. Skin color does not matter. My kids are also raised in a household where you stick up for what's right. If you see someone in a situation, they're getting bullied for, you know, whatever reason, you see something wrong in general, you stick up for them. Not even just for yourself, but for others. So my oldest son, who is now 13, he was 12 at the time, was in school. All of this happened within the school. There had been a group of people who were surrounding a biracial girl, making fun of her for her skin color, were making very bold, very hurtful statements. They were saying all Black people should die. I mean, very just sickening things. My son made the decision to walk into this, stick up for what was right, and ended up getting into a physical confrontation with a kid who had originally started it all and were chanting these things. My son was the only one who ended up suspended. The kid who had started it all pretty much got a slap on the wrist, all due to the fact that my son was the only one who was physical. So, to me, it was just a very unacceptable situation. The school did not handle it the way that I thought it should have been. I think that, you know, my son should not have been in trouble at all. He was standing up for something that is so important, and that other kid just got a slap on the wrist. Now, I will say the girl's parents pressed a ton of charges. They 100% got the justice that they deserved. However, it didn't change the fact that it happened. It did not change the fact that that child did not face consequences within the school. And it was just brushed under the rug at that point. And so it was just very sickening. My son was absolutely mind blown about the situation as well. So the fact that a 12-year-old understands it just really shows that there's a real problem. And if somebody as young as 12 can see it, then grown adults should be able to see the same thing. They should be able to see the problem And so I don't understand why so many people do not. And then my second story here is actually with my 10-year-old. And he was able to witness a nice little culture shock that I appreciate. He had to go to the barber the one day with his best friend, who is Black. So they went to a barbershop downtown Akron. He obviously was in a situation where he was the only white person there. He went into this thinking nothing of it. He, like I said, is raised, everyone is equal. That thought never crossed his mind. Whenever he came home, the first thing he said to me, because he looked just really sad, and I looked at him and I was like, what's wrong? He looked at me and he goes, I understand how Andrew feels every day when he comes to school. And I just looked at him and I was like, I want to hear this explanation. So I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, I know that everybody at my school is white, and I know that Andrew isn't any different. And Andrew said it doesn't bother him, but I know now how he feels being the only Black kid in our class. And it just ripped my heart in half. Because me telling my kids, me raising my kids that way, doesn't mean that they get it without experiencing it. And I mean, I'm not just speaking about them, but I mean, even myself, I'm white. I haven't been in a situation where I'm looked down upon because of my skin color. I'm very well aware I have white privilege, 100%. I'm not oblivious to that. So I am really glad that my kids were able to both experience something hands-on, face-to-face, that was an eye-opening experience, not just me telling them, not just me, like, them hearing me speak.
Very true. You know what I mean? When you told me that, and the funny thing is, I didn't even know when she had told me the story, I didn't even know, like, her son's friend was Black. All she told me was my son went down to a barbershop. People, you know, like the people in there looked at him and said to his friend's mom, like, what's he doing in here? So I said, I take it, it was an all Black barbershop he went to, and your son was with his Black friend. And it's crazy just to hear that story and not have much info and say, I know exactly, you know, where he was at. Now, Nadine, what's been your experience with all this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think my stance on it has a lot to do with my upbringing. You know, my mom was born here. Her family was from Italy. My mom grew up in the old Orchard Park projects of Roxbury. I mean, she's an inner city Boston kid. She married my dad, who moved here from Lebanon as a teenager. So my father is a foreigner. And, you know, growing up, we were that foreign family on the street. We were those crazy foreigners. So, you know, my father had his country because of political and religious purposes. It was going through a civil war. And he had to leave life as he knew it to come to America. You know, my mother grew up in the middle of Roxbury when they were still busing kids, and, you know, segregation was still a huge issue. And even though, you know, my mom grew up in Roxbury, her family did not have an open mind. She was kicked out of the house at 16 for dating a foreigner. So my mom had to figure out life on her own at 16 because of, you know, culture, because of race, because of ethnicity. And I was brought up between both of my parents and their experiences. You know, it doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. None of that matters. And, you know, I have three kids that I've also raised that way. My kids wouldn't know whether I'm Democrat or Republican. We don't follow a religion, even though, you know, my family is Catholic. My kids were not baptized or anything like that. My second marriage was to a Black man, even though my first marriage was a white man. So my kids are not biracial. But, you know, they grew up in a household where none of that matters. You know, I grew up being bullied because of looking differently, not because of race, but because of weight. And I know we shared that on a different podcast. I've had balls of ice thrown at me. I've been, you know, bullied, harassed, all of that because of looking differently. So in some respects, I get it. I've been beat up for that reason, all of it. And, you know, I watched my dad really struggle when we were younger. I can remember being in Radio Shack, if that doesn't tell you how old I am. And someone, actually, it was Circuit City. And someone was like, "So where are you from?" The you know, the store rep. And my father said, I live here in Quincy. But no, where are you from? And my father was an asshole about it. He said, "Well, before that, I lived in Boston." You know, why do you care what country my father's from? Yeah, he has a heavy accent and a beard. And I will tell you, at 9/11, that changed everything. We are not that, yeah. You know, terrorism is only isolated to Muslims, but unfortunately, that's what Americans think. And whether we were Muslim or Catholic became a huge issue. My father worked, you know, 75% of the time out of the country with his work, and the being detained constantly, even as an American citizen. So my whole family has experienced being treated differently or judged because we look different, whether it's because of size, race, all of it. Believe it or not, my family fully embraced when I married a Black man. It was his family who really struggled with that. They were not warm to me, especially his sisters. In all of my past relationships with Black men, it's usually the sisters or cousins, the females, that have an issue with a Black man dating a white woman. That's my personal experience. But, you know, Kayla said something, you know, that was so true, that right now, you know, I consider myself on paper, you know, when I have to check off those little boxes that apply, I consider myself white, Caucasian. However, with my background, I know it's much more complex than that. But I will tell you, as a white woman, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't when it comes to posting. You know, I've seen my Black friends post and it says, you know, white people, this is not your time. Keep your comments to yourself and don't make this about you. And don't even post shit, because all you're doing is having your Black friends relive their trauma. And then other Black people are like, "Yeah, your silence said it all, motherfucker. You know, I know where you're at." And it's like, how do you win in this, you know, in this type of situation? And I will tell you, I have a problem with white people who usually don't give a shit and who are, you know, looking out their front porch windows when the house is for sale across the street to see if it's a Black, white, or Hispanic family moving in. I have a problem with that posting about Black Lives Matter. The way they're saying it, it's patronizing. It's almost like, "Oh, well, your life matters too." And this is not supposed to be a time of superiority versus being inferior. This, if you have to take the time to say that in a very basic way, it can very easily come off as patronizing or saying it in a way to just cover your ass, not because you mean it. And I do worry about how many white people out there mean it and realize how good they fucking have it right now. They will never experience being judged for how you look, judged from where your father came from, judged because your mother had a shaved head as a little kid because in the projects, the lice were such a fucking problem. She always looked like a boy. You know, when we're talking about white privilege, that is a whole different thing than just living in the inner city, you know, and being white. And I'm blessed to have the background and the complexity that my parents did. I worry about my kids. Yeah, their dad's white. Yeah, we have a middle income, even though we're divorced, and they haven't experienced life as we know it, especially the way the schools protect them from bullying and everyone's always a winner. There's no losers in sports. I mean, my kids are the pure definition of white privilege.
you know what? And I actually love hearing Kayla and you, Nadine, actually saying, yeah, we know we have white privilege. We ain't blind to that. You know what I'm saying? But neither one of y'all have been saying, oh yeah, we take advantage of that. You know what I mean? So I respect that a lot. What what I will say is, and we're gonna get to you next, Jackie, is what I will say is, ever since this whole thing with cops, you know, pulling, you know, black men over, and you know, these black men end up, you know, getting killed. I'm gonna keep it all the way real with y'all. I am like scared to drive. You know what I mean? If I don't have to drive, I won't drive. You know what I mean? If I'm with friends, because sometimes I hang out with friends and they'll be like, yo, can you drive? I'd be like, absolutely not. You know what I mean? You drive. And then they'll say, why? And I tell them straight up, because you're white. I tell them just like that, because you're white. Let's keep it 100. 2 years ago, I was coming home from Rhode Island. And I was on that highway there, you know, that, you know, going, you know, to and from Rhode Island. And I get pulled over. I'm not going to, yo, listen, the moment I saw those flashing lights behind me, yo, my anxiety went through the roof. My heart was racing. And the whole time I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Yo, I just got to chill. Let me just relax. I pulled over, put the lights inside the car on, roll the windows down, and I put both hands on the wheel. The whole time it was, the whole time talking to the to the two stadies, it was, yes, sir, no, sir, no, sir. Sir, is it okay if I reach in my pocket for my license? Sir, is it okay if I reach in the glove box you know what I mean? And even though, like, okay, some people might say that's how you're supposed to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, it is. But there was a point in time where you did not have to say, can I reach in the glove box? There was a point in time where the cops say license registration. You just went in your pocket, pulled out your license, handed it, went in the glove box, pulled out your registration, handed it. Nowadays, you can't do that. Sometimes, you know what I mean? You hear stories of, oh, well, he reached for the glove box because the cop asked for the registration and he got shot. And that's the whole thing that was going through my mind the whole time. What was only about maybe lasted about 7 minutes felt like 77 minutes. You know what I mean? And and everything, what ended up happening, the reason why I, you know, ended up getting pulled over is because the car that I was driving was a friend of mine's. And I guess he had like unpaid parking tickets or something like that. So I was like, no, you know, it's not my car. And that was the other thing that made me very nervous. Cause I'm like, if I tell them it's not my car, the moment they tell me, can you get out the car? I go, I'm gonna piss my pants. You know what I mean? But the stadiums were respectful. You know what I mean? They were like, yo, just tell your friend, yo, get those tickets taken care of. You're all set. I go, thank you very much. Even after all that, I literally stood there for at least a good 3 minutes and was just like, I just need to calm down. Let me wipe the sweat off me and let me get my heart rate, you know, down. But, you know, moral of the story is, why do we even have to go through all that?
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, even though that wasn't a bad experience, because, you know, like I said, the cops were respectful. They were real respectful. You know what I mean? They were making jokes with me. They were laughing. You know what I mean? They were laughing with me and everything. But still, ever since then, yo, there's been times where, you know, like, for instance, last summer I did a lot of officiating out in Hanover. So I always had to drive on that same highway. By the time I was going home, it was, you know, after 10 o'clock. Anytime I see a flashing light, and a lot, you know, 95% of the times, well, 99% of the times, it's not for me. But I see the flashing lights behind me. Yo, I get paranoid. You know what I'm saying? I get paranoid. And then the cop will obviously drive by me. And I'm like, oh, my God. I go, yo, at some point, like, this has to stop. But the problem is we don't, it's not stopping. So I feel like I'm forever going to be, you know, paranoid like that. And now that, you know, George Floyd, you know, now that this happened to him, I'm even more paranoid. So whenever a cop approaches me, I'm just all about, yo, I keep my, yo, keep my hands up. I'm like frozen. I don't want to do anything. You know what I mean? I don't want to do anything at all. So, you know, Jackie, what's your like whole, you know, situation with this, with the whole, like, you know, with the whole posting and how you, and how they say, oh, if white people stay silent, then they're for it. You know, what's your thing on that? And most importantly, how are your kids dealing with this?
Well, my kids, and I have four children, two boys, two girls. My oldest is 23. I have a 19-year-old, I have a 14-year-old, and I have an 11-year-old, right? So my 19-year-old was actually out there last night. And he's a Christian, but his mission he brought a bunch of friends, and he just started praying with the protesters. He was there for two reasons: to stand up for all life matter, Black Lives Matters, you know what I mean? And to pray, because he believes that, and I believe that, you know, calling unto God. So my children, I talk to them straight up, because you know, their skin color change, you know, they are who they are. We're Latinos. But you know, one of them is very dark skinned, especially him. And he has self-esteem issues. And I could understand. I know why. And he is the darkest one in my house. And he's the one with the lowest self-esteem. And it's because of a lot of stuff that he had to deal with, you know, in school, amongst his peers. And I was having a conversation actually with my son. I said, how do you feel about the color of your skin? And he goes, I personally, myself, I love my skin. What does it, my skin color and who I am? What I don't love is how others see me or treat me. You know what I mean? But I'm okay with being this color, you know? So that was a good, you know, to have a conversation with him. And we did have a conversation, and I could try to, you know, as much as I can to talk to my children, educate my children. But it's something that they're going to continue experiencing, especially when we lived in Florida for like 2 years. You would think that, you know, and especially with so many people of color over there, you don't see it, but that's where we experienced it the most. So with that's what I, in regards to my kids, we always had an upfront and very raw conversations about race and mostly everything. But when it comes to posting, see, I just started posting about this. Like I usually like to see things play out. I like to know the full story, although, you know, even if it is every time a cop does something, everything, I need to know the full story, you know, because I just don't want to jump with the mask. So we all saw what happened, right? We all saw how that cop had like, what, 9 minutes, his knee, he killed him, point blank killed him. So I said, you know what, I'm going to speak about this, but I want to speak about the human heart, right? Us. I don't want to just say this is a Black and white thing. You know why? Because as Dominican, and I'll tell you straight up, I only right now, and I date black men, African American. That's my choice. That is what I like, right? But I get so much shit because of that, and I get hate, and I get told, I'm not even gonna repeat it. But the things that I hear, even from my own family, even from people close to me, they tell me, and it's all like a joke. And I'm like, that's not a joke, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I'm talking to my peers and I'm like, listen, check your heart, because we are all minority and we're all in this together. You know what I mean? But check your heart, because it's not only a white thing, it's a person thing. And the way that is spoken about Black people and all this stuff, like, I hear it. I hear it, as amongst friends, is a joke, but it's not a fucking joke. That's why I don't joke around like that, because what's so funny about that? Why do we have to laugh about that? Why you gotta tell me, why am I only dating Black men? And if it would stop right there, it would be, you know, it would be bad, but it keeps on going and deeper. So I wanted to address my own people, especially Dominicans. You know, yes, we do have a lot of European in our genetics, but we are very much Black. Okay? So they need to first learn who they are and accept themselves and join the fight. So that's when I started posting and just basically, I'm very aggressive with my posting. So, you know, and actually a post that I put in regards to that, you know, so you could see how real it is. That was the first post ever. The one that it was something, it went something along the line of like, Dominicans, you know, you guys are just Black in denial, whatever, something like that. It got reported. Like, Facebook took it down. I was like, what? And I know that's what all those Dominican men that follow me just being, you know, because I hear it. I hear it from the, from my peers. So I'm addressing this as a human condition, not just as a Black and white or whatever thing, Asian, whatever. It's a human. We got to check our heart where we stand. So I post things that are going to be educate, and also obviously check your facts. I'm a librarian, so you also you have to check your sources because you don't want to be giving false information, misleading information. And the media loves that. So that's my take on that.
It's, you know, it's funny that, you know, you know, just how you, you know, like you said, you know, you date, you know, Black men, that's your preference. I actually had someone say to me, you know what I mean? Literally asked me flat out, Jeff, how can you be comfortable? Well, you know, they didn't even say, how can you be comfortable? They said, Jeff, are you comfortable dating a white woman with everything that's going on right now? And I'm just like, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do? It went from this white cop killed the Black guy, and now it's to all white people are bad. So I'm like, yo, I'm not even going to dignify that, you know, with the answer. I'm not even going to entertain that. You know what I mean? Like, that has nothing to do with, you know, with
that's anything. That's why I call about it a human condition. You know what I mean? It's ourself.
Yeah.
Because it happens amongst each other. So we have to dead on stop it. Like, even if another Black person is telling you, why are you dating Black white women? That's what the fuck I like. What? And you know what?
Period.
I like them, this particular one. Maybe next time I'll date an Asian woman or Latina woman, whatever. But it's whatever I want. So that doesn't give you an open door for you to, you know, be racist, period.
Now, Heather, your two daughters being, you know, the two daughters being, you know, half white, half Black. Now, you know, I know, you know, you living in Maine, and, you know, so years back, I used to date one of Heather's friends, and I used to go out to Maine, and the first thing I said when I went out there, I was just like, yo, this area looks racist as fuck. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And this is back in 2003, 2004, something like that. You know what I mean? So, and there was times that we went out, and it was, what was it, like Watertown, Maine? And there was times that we went out, and people would, you know, look at us funny. And I was like, oh, there you go. So, what have you dealt, you know, if you've dealt with any, what kind of, like, what have you dealt with having, you know, two, you know, biracial daughters living out in, like, central Maine?
Well, I've dealt with it all, really. You know, even within my own family, you know, I mean, my grandmother that has passed away, she was, I don't want to call her a bigot, but she was, you know, the first one when she was in an argument with someone to call you out your name or something like that. She never did it to my children or anything, but my oldest daughter, Amira, she was written a letter at school by a classmate that was like threatening, and the classmate hated Black people. And, you know, that was just addressed with a slap on the wrist. You know, I just try to educate my daughters because they're Native American too. So, you know, they come from a background that's been oppressed for over 500 years, you know. So I just try to educate them and teach them respect. So if they ever do come into contact with a police officer or someone of authority, that they always, you know, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, you know, all the respectful ways to be, so they don't in turn get themselves into a situation like I was, you know.
So you do a lot of, I'm sorry, yeah, keep going.
No, go ahead.
So you must do a lot of like educating, like, you know,
Yep, we do. You know, we have, you know, talks a lot, and my daughter's father is, you know, we have him do like little history reports about, you know, influential African American people, Native American people, Lebanese too. So my daughter did a report about Lebanon. So, you know, education is the biggest thing, and, you know, kill them with kindness, you know, be a lover, not a fighter type of thing.
What's their take on everything that's going on right now? Do they understand what's going on, and like what's their reaction to it?
My oldest daughter is 12 and my youngest daughter is 8. My youngest daughter, she just kind of, you know, we have conversations about it as a family, and she just kind of snuggles up to me and gives me hugs and kisses and stuff like that. And, you know, and she's more, you know, empathetic, and everything will be okay, and I'm going to be okay. And my oldest daughter, she's more outspoken, and she is more more interested in the facts and what happened, and, you know, seeing the videos, and, you know, not just, you know, George Floyd, but Ahmaud Arbery, and, you know, and just the craziness of it all, and the inhumane actions that we can do, you know, to one another. It's just, it's sickening and saddening, but, you know, it's something that they need to be aware of, and that everybody needs to be aware of, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Nadine.
Yeah.
You had in your Instagram stories, you actually, you know, had spoke out. So tell, you know, like, tell everybody what, you know, what you had said, which was interesting. You know what I mean? I liked it. So tell everybody, you know, what it is that you had said on your Instagram story about everything that's going on.
Well, you know, I basically said you shouldn't have to feel like you're posting to show where you're aligned through all of this. But I feel like, honestly, I feel white people are just doing that to make sure that their black neighbors don't come over and kick their ass. You know, it shouldn't be about that. It should be about whether that was a black man, an Asian man, a Hispanic man, a Muslim man, especially police officer. These are the influencers of America. Who are those influencers? It's law enforcement, it's teachers, it's coaches. Maybe that's a personal trigger for me, because, you know, my ex is a coach and he, you know, put me in an unsafe situation. I don't believe these people should be around innocent victims or influencers for our next generation and not doing the right thing 100% of the time. And, you know, for, you know, I had said something along the lines of, you have black men get hit for taking a knee with a reason during a fucking football game, but a cop can take a knee to somebody's throat and kill them, and that's okay. Like, what kind of world is that? And, you know, I'm not a heavy political person. I do believe that Trump brings out the bigot in a lot of people. And I do believe that he makes it okay to judge. And he talks, I mean, you hear him in the middle of all his virus talks, the way he says, and how he goes, China, you know, he's an asshole, and he's bringing out all these old school racist bigots out of the fucking hole, out of the woodwork. These people have been around for decades, generations, centuries, but they know, probably since the fucking Civil War, that they need to hide. They need to stay put. That's why the KKK has had fucking cloaks on and hoods on there for this whole time. Honestly, with Trump, I feel like they just walk around with nothing on anymore because he empowers negative influencers. And that's a problem. It is not a positive thing to be an American right now. And if the majority is the white privilege, if the majority are people who can't see that this is a problem, you know, then I position myself with the minorities until one day the minorities are large enough and outweigh the majority and we become the majority. I don't want to be an American right now. I don't want to be a white person right now, because everything they speak for in this kind of poorly influenced country that Trump represents is nothing that I stand for or my kids do.
And you know what? That's so true about what you said. Before Trump even became president, we knew he was racist. And I specifically said, like, yo, listen, once if Trump becomes president, I go, all he's doing is opening doors for all the racist people, the KKK, the Nazis, to just come out into the open, where, like you said, wearing nothing. And that's exactly what happened. And like you know, just like you said, you can definitely see it with the way he talks and how he says things. But not only that, but I feel like these racist people, now they stay and do whatever they want because they know, hey, you know what? Trump is president, so I'm going to get away literally with murder. Look how long it took for Ahmaud Arbery, you know, killers to be arrested. Look how long that took. Look what it took for that cop who killed George Floyd to be arrested. He wasn't even arrested. He was just fired. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he just got fired. So then
that's called a white person formality, by the way.
Yeah. Very
true. He probably still got all his benefits and all that shit. That's called a formality.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. It's crazy
that's like a mother at the playground telling her 3-year-old son to say he's sorry.
Yeah. Exactly. And all I keep saying is, you know what? It's now the month of June. This motherfucker got until what? What is it? Until January when we get a new president in. I mean, not that Joe Biden is exactly the best. You know what I mean? But that's a whole other topic, you know, for all the podcasts. But I feel like anyone is better, you know, than Donald Trump. So my question to y'all is, do y'all think when Donald Trump is out of his presidency, do you think all these racist people will go back into the woods?
I personally think he's done probably 50 to 100 years worth of damage when it comes to, you know, getting back to where we were 5 years ago. You know, we were able to stabilize quite a lot, you know, when it comes to, you know, at least for my family, with a lot of the racism that occurred and the profiling that occurred after 9/11, you know, that took a long time to get over. And, you know, I think we're at least 25 years. I think he put us back a whole century.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He absolutely did. So I mean, so, you know, it's pretty much like, okay, damage is done. He set us back. You know what I mean? So my opinion with that is that, in a way, I do think once he leaves presidency, you know, the racists will go back behind, you know, closed doors. But it's because, just like you said, Nadine, because, you know what? Damage is already done. It's almost like they're saying, our work here is done.
You know what? If that's the kind of world they want so bad, take the southern states, we'll take the north, let it be two fucking worlds. It's embarrassing to be a part of such an ignorant, racist culture this day and age. Like, I'm ready to go move to Nova Scotia or Denmark or something, because this is not a world that I ever wanted for my kids to live in.
I was just talking about that same thing too. And I was dead serious when I said, I am ready to just move out of this country. Mm-hmm. Dead serious. Dead serious. You know what I mean? There's so many other countries out there that is a lot more safer. And it's crazy that people think, you know, America, you know, America's the best place to live. America's the best place to go and where the dreams come true. It's, you know, it's the best state to live in. And how do they even get that idea? Mm-hmm. With everything that, you know, you see going on the news.
Well, Jeff, now, let me ask you this question. You asked all of us how, you know, about posting and everything. And I know Kayla said she had a similar experience, you know, as a white person. We're kind of damned if we do and damned if we don't. How do you feel about white people posting about Black Lives Matter?
Do you think
it's valuable?
To be totally honest with you, I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't care because, and the reason why I say I don't care is because I personally know, you know, I have, you know, white friends, male and females, and I personally know that I've seen them not post, right? I've seen them not post anything, but I know what their take on it, on everything that's going on is. They're just not that, that's just not them. That's just not their style. It's not, that's not what they want to do. They don't want to, you know, be posting all this, you know, racial stuff and, you know, Black Lives Matter and reposting the whole picture and video of George Floyd being murdered. Now, you know, for them not doing that, I don't sit there and say to myself like, oh, yo, you know what? Y'all are all for it. You know what I mean? Yeah, y'all are racist. I personally know them, and I personally know they're not racist. They just, listen, you can't sit there and say, oh, freedom of speech, you know what I mean? Or, you know, we live in America, so you have the freedom to, you know, pretty much, you know, and I say, quote and unquote, do what you want. So then they decide, okay, well, I don't want to post about all that. But then when they don't post it, you know what I mean? Now you're on their asses about it. But, you know, Kayla said something, very important. You know what I mean? Like, she's damned if she does, she's damned, you know, if she doesn't. And I know that's exactly how my white friends feel like. They know, like, all right, you know what? If I go and post it, there will be some people who will like the post and be like, yeah, that's what's up. But then they're going to get those people who will be like, what do you know about all that? You're white. You're not going through none of that situation. You know what I mean? You'll never experience any of that.
Can I go ahead. Do a comparison? Because one of my cousins, who is like a sister to me, she lost her son unexpectedly a few years ago. He had a spontaneous brain aneurysm, and he just never woke up one morning. So my nephew would have been, I think he would have been 15 this year. So, you know, this was a few years ago. And when that happened, here's the thing. There's nothing you can say to a mother who just lost her baby. And I know George Floyd is a grown man. There is nothing that any person, black or white, can say to make that man come back. And, you know, I think it has more to do with who you are as a person for your friend who's hurting right now, and less about what you say in the moment, you know, because none of those words are going to bring that person back. So, you know, it's very similar. My black friends don't, you know, I saw some posts about thanks to all my white friends for calling and reaching out to me. I'm like, that's not who I am ever, you know, but you better believe if that was if that was their family, I'd be right at their doorstep with a lasagna trying to fix problems with food like I always do. You know, it's really hard as a white person to find your, there's nothing we can say that's going to make this any better. And if you can't say it passionately, it's going to come off like a fucking formality, you know, and that's not right either. So it's a really, really tough place, even though it's not our place. It never will be. We'll never experience this kind of trauma that African-Americans are experiencing right now. It's a matter of being there to support our friends, if that's the type of person we always have been.
Amen to that. You know what I'm saying? Kayla.
I am.
Now, you still there, Kayla? Okay, cool. So tell everybody about that post that you had put on about the house burning.
Oh, I'm with so that, glad I and with the white girl. That. I had shared a post that was actually on TikTok, really explaining the difference between Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. And I think that that's something whenever someone says all lives matter, mean like they have all good intentions by stating that they're trying to create equality, saying no matter your skin color, no matter your religion, no matter what, we are all the same. So I shared this video to try to really explain to people that that's not what that statement means. It is coming from good intention. However, that is not what matters right now. The video pretty much was a debate between two women where one was living in a house that was completely fine. The other one was saying, hey, we're going to go help these people. Their house is on fire. The one woman says, well, what about my house? My house matters. And she goes, well, is your house on fire? And she's like, well, no, but my house still matters. And she's like, no one said that it didn't matter, but this house needs our help right now. There's people's lives at jeopardy over here. So we need to help them. That house matters. And it was just kind of a way to really open people's eyes a little bit, kind of dumb it down to a way that made it outside of just the color of your skin. And honestly, the way that I explained it to my son was it's like a group of people sitting down at a table. Everybody's hungry. They're all excited for dinner. Everyone gets a plate except for Bob. Bob says, hey, I'm hungry too. Karen says, so am I. I'm hungry too. And Bob says, well, I don't have a plate. And Karen's like, well, I'm hungry. All of us matter. That doesn't change. Everyone else's hunger doesn't change. Everyone else needing to eat doesn't change. None of their hunger and that factor changes. However, Bob is the one without a plate. Bob is the one who needs the help to get food on his plate. And it's just a matter of people really understanding the difference of we're not devaluing someone's life or, you know, whatever because of someone's skin color. The point isn't to acknowledge everyone is the same. The point is to acknowledge that right now the movement is exactly that. Black Lives Matter. That needs to be brought to the table. That needs to be what the attention is on. We all know that our life matters. We wake up, we know that we're a value to society. We know that. We don't need that pointed out. That's not the problem. The problem is what is happening right now. And that, unfortunately, is targeting Black lives. So that's why the movement is that and why it's Black Lives Matter and not All Lives Matter. And that opened a lot of my friends and family's eyes because a lot of them were saying all lives matters, again, thinking that it was all good intentions, thinking I want equality, whenever that is not what that statement is.
When I saw that video, I was like, yo, this video's dope. You know what I mean? I don't know if I reposted in my stories. I'm gonna check. If I didn't, I'm going to. So so y'all can check it out. So before we go, I want to hear all y'all everyone's take. You know what I mean? Starting with you, Jackie, on the protest with how, you know, the rioting and the looting. Is it yay or nay? You know what I mean? Because, you know, before, you know, any of y'all answer that, the reason why I ask that is because one of the things that you keep hearing is how everybody keeps saying, yo, this rioting and looting isn't, like, what's the point of y'all doing that? You know what I mean? You guys are all going about it the wrong way. And then you have people saying, hey, you know what? People like Colin Kaepernick took a knee about this situation, and y'all had an issue with it. You know, y'all couldn't hear us. So now we have to make a whole lot of noise for y'all to hear us. But is that really a way to be heard, Jackie?
It's like what we were talking about the other day when we were talking to David on the podcast. It's like Black Lives Matter, or you protest and you loot. Now what? Then what? You know what I mean? Like, then what? What's the outcome of this? Where are we going? You know what I mean? So here's where my mentality is. I'm opposed to all the looting and everything. That's why when it started happening, not only for my safety, and I ain't nobody trying to get arrested either, I was like, I'm out of here, because this is not what I came out here for. You know what I mean? And then I say this on the flip side. I don't know what's in those people's heart. I don't agree with it, but I don't know, you know, to the extent what causes them to do that. You know why? Because under my skin, I haven't felt pain as someone else with darker, you know, than I am. I can't tell you, I understand that, because no, I see the pain in my son's eye, and just because of that, it gets me angry, right? Or things that my friends or boyfriend, whatever, have gone through. So I'm totally against that, but I'm staying neutral. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But I can say this, moving forward, right? If we have to deal with 4 more years of this president, all I say, brace yourself and start packing, start moving, because it's just going to get a lot worse. So what we need to start doing, and not only we lack leadership, right? But we need to start. November's right around the corner. We need to start doing something. Yes, Biden is not the best choice. I agree. But are we going to stay with this fucked up shit and see how not only did he handle the virus, but also what's happened to America since he's been our president? The hate, the change, the shift, everything. Let's focus on what truly matters, and is getting that bastard out of there, and then checking our heart, all mm-hmm. of our hearts, and work on that.
Very true. Now, before I ask Heather about her opinion on this, I just want to bring to everybody's attention, which y'all already know this, one of the first things that Trump said was telling these cops to, you know what, go ahead and shoot them.
Yep, you loot, you shoot.
Exactly. And that's wild. But when people were protesting and acting crazy for the business, you know, for America to reopen because of the whole, like, you know, COVID-19, he was saying to them, oh, these real nice people. The difference was those people were not black. So just want to bring that to y'all attention. Heather, what's your take on the rioting and the looting?
Yeah, still here.
Oh, okay. What's your take on this, you know, with the rioting and looting? You for it, against it?
I'm for a peaceful protest. The rioting and the looting, I don't want to give them a reason, you know? If, you know, there comes an instance where, you know, somebody is caught up in a protest and it changes over into a riot or starting to loot a store, you know, that just gives you a cop that just gives a cop a reason to, you know, do the same thing that, you know, he did to George Floyd, and or she did to George Floyd. And, you know, I if we give them a reason to act insane, then they'll take it, you know, and they're taking lives with it. So I don't know. There's a fine line between a protest and a riot, though, you know, and a lot of the looting is coming from, you know, white hands, and, you know, only the Black community is going to be blamed for it. So, yep. I mean,
yep.
It's kind of a lose-lose situation.
Yes. You know, Kayla, that I have a very strong opinion on this one.
What is yours?
I think that riots and looting are a reaction, not a solution. I think that a lot of people are acting that way without even having a true reason. Yes, there are some that have the thoughts behind of, you know, when, why, what. However, I think a lot of it is just anger and just trying to mass destruct. Like I said, it's a reaction, not a solution. I think right now what needs to be looked at as a solution. Protesting is definitely a good start. 100% for protesting. Everyone's voice needs heard. However, that needs to happen, whatever type of protest. That's what's going to make a difference. People speaking up, people's actions that do show peace, that support equality, and a movement that actually says something, that means something, not just anger and reactions and people's actions to destroy. They're destroying Black-owned companies. They're destroying their own city that they live within. It's absolutely sickening, and I myself cannot find any reason behind it at all whatsoever, because again, it's not a solution. And right now, we need a solution.
Nadine.
I definitely agree with what was just said. Here's my thing, professionally and personally. I tell people all the time, if you have a real problem with how something went down, do not let that person become the victim by reacting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the
definition of looting, I'm looking it up right now. It's goods, especially private property, that were taken from the enemy in war. These small business owners, or even freaking Louis Vuitton, they are not the enemy. They're not. So, you know, these are people, like we were just saying, whether it's out of anger, out of an opportunity to get free shit. That's not the answer. We're taking a step away from identifying the real problem. If anything, that definition of looting, look at what that officer did. He took away a human life. He crossed physical boundaries without permission. Took without permission. That is exactly what we want to highlight. And by doing the same thing, mm-hmm. we know for a fact two wrongs don't make a right. But you know what good came out of this? And I will tell you two very disturbing stories just in the past 12 hours on Facebook. And one of them I just posted. Here's an example of how white privilege sounds. Listen to this. And how many white folks have you seen on Facebook say this shit? First example, you keep saying, quote unquote, it's horrible that innocent Black men was killed, but destroying property has to stop. That's white privilege. Instead, it says, try saying it's horrible that property is being destroyed, but killing an innocent Black man has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
See the difference? And all these, as much as I think of myself as white, I'm telling you, here's my revelation at 40. I can never get married again, and I am not white. Those are the two things I'm learning in my 39th year of life, because that's a white person problem. They're more worried about the destruction of their hometown. What about the destruction of that fucking family? that lost their life. They're more worried about having to clean off some green spray paint on the side of fucking Target. They're worried that they can't go to Target today. That's a problem. That so what this what the protests have done is had all the people with that white privilege ignorance shine through. Just another quick one. I have someone on Facebook who I went to high school with. Her husband is a police officer. And she posted a picture of herself with a tear running down her eye. This is what a police officer's wife looks like, because he needs to go to the protest tonight. I'm sorry. He made a choice to serve and protect. What type of choice do these black men make when their life is taken without permission, without right, without merit? So don't post a picture of your white fucking ass crying because your husband has to go work a detail, probably making $1,500 fucking dollars for the night that you're going to take your family of four to Disneyland with. Don't go post it. This is not your fucking battle right now, white girl.
But that's real right there. That's real, and that's so true. You know what I mean? But
but to me, I'm telling you right now, this happened 4 years ago however many years ago it was when we realized that fucking monster is going to be our president. True colors came out of the fucking woodwork, and I deleted at least 30 or 40 people on my Facebook who I'm like, you know what? I'm watching their posts about Muslims and Mexicans and the border, and I'm like, these are not people I want in my life. And I won't even date a Trump supporter. And I'm telling you this, and how people handle themselves through this shit is going to be another one of those life-changing events where you realign and reprioritize yourself. And in any way, shape, or form, even on a fucking Facebook social media, I'll delete their asses. I can't tolerate that kind of ignorance in my life.
Now, my whole thing with the rioting and the looting is you're not making your point. You're not making your point at all, because what you're actually doing is you're taking away from the issue at hand. Because now all you hear in the media is this got damaged, that got damaged, that got set on fire, cars got flipped over. So now they're no longer even talking about the protests or even talking about, you know, George Floyd's death. You know what I mean? So it's like, why would you even do that? My other thing with the rioting and looting is now you see these, you know, black people are getting, you know, murdered by these police for lesser things. Why would you put yourself in, you know, in the crosshairs, rioting and looting? Now, you know, if, you know, the cop pulls up and they see you doing that and you decide, well, I'm going to run, and you get caught up, what do you think is going to happen? You know what I mean? Why would you, you know, pretty much sign a death certificate, you know what I mean, for yourself? And my other thing is, it's like with the looting, it'd be one thing. First and foremost, I'm totally against it. So let me just make that clear. My whole thing is, it's like, it's one thing, you know, okay, I'm going to throw a rock through the window and take off. But they're not just destroying these companies or these businesses. They're going in there and stealing shit. And they're stealing it from the high-end places. You know what I mean? You know, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Christian Dior. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. They're using the riot as a means to let me get free shit. You know what I'm saying? That popular sneaker store called Flight Club. You know what I mean? They ran through there and, you know, and stole sneakers. And it's like, I thought y'all were there to protest. I thought y'all were there for y'all voices to be heard about how we're being mistreated by police officers. But now you turned it into, yo, let me go and get some high-end shit for free. It makes, you know, no sense to me. And a lot of these people, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. I guarantee you that a good percentage of them only go to these protests to see what they can get out of it. To see if they can benefit from it. Because if that wasn't the case, then they wouldn't be rioting and looting. So for people to say, oh, you know, well, we tried it the other way and we weren't heard, so now we're going to tear shit down. You're still not being heard. Now you're making these racist people, you're really making, you know, giving them a reason to say all the shit that they're saying. Like, oh, see, told you. Black people are, you know, they're just like animals in the jungle. Look how they act. They're acting like animals in the jungle by destroying shit. See, everything that I said about these black people are right. Like you said, we're supposed to, you know, like, no, I believe it was Heather who said this. Kill them with kindness. You know what I mean? Denver, their protest was peaceful. As far as I know, it was peaceful. You know what I mean? Because the media, you know, they can choose, you know, what they want to put out there. But from, you know, from what I saw, all they did was, you know, lay on the ground, face down with their hands, you know, behind their back saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And it was peaceful. You know, once again, you know, as far as I know, it was peaceful. And I feel like that, you know, that's how it should be. Now, in Boston, when, you know, towards the end where it got, you know, a little, you know, violent, it all started because they were saying, kneel for Floyd, kneel for Floyd. And they were saying it towards the cops. They wanted the cops to kneel because in some other states, that's what the cops have been doing. And because of the fact that the cops didn't kneel, a lot of people were like, yo, let's tear this fence down. And it was the fence that was blocking off the state house. So my whole thing with that was, why didn't y'all just take a fucking knee? What's the problem? You know what I'm saying? With the cops, like, what's the problem? Take a knee. But now you see why. You know, a lot of, you know, cops are like one of the most hated, you know, the most hated, like, people, like, you know, on the planet. They should have just, you know, taken a knee. At the same time, I do say they have that right whether or not they want to take a knee or not. So if y'all are there to protest, just protest. Who gives a fuck if those cops don't want to take a knee? Y'all take a knee. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about them. Fuck them. But, you know, but at the same time, who am I? You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, that's that. But do any of y'all have anything y'all want to say, y'all want to throw in, y'all want to, you know, end the conversation on, final thoughts?
I just stay safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And stay safe.
Nope. Just like absolutely. You said, stay safe. Hopefully this ends soon and not in a, everything just needs to stop and end and go back to normal, but an end comes where there's a solution and we start seeing a difference and all the hatred can just go down and we can all just love each other and have great hearts. And easier said than done. Will it be perfect? Will it be quick? Absolutely not. But I just hope that one day we truly can get there.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I want to say for my final thought is, you know, you ladies are doing one hell of a job educating your children. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm schooling them, you know, showing them like, yo, this is reality, but this is not how, this isn't your reality. You know what I mean? You can change the narrative. You know what I mean? That's dope that, you know, y'all are doing that. Heather, I really hope things will, and I believe they will change for you, because I know you said, you know, earlier it's kind of hard for you to get a job because of, you know, the situation you went through with the, like, you know, with right. the with the cops. And, you know, I do believe, you know, things will change. And, you know, I definitely, you know, I mean, I'm say, you know, I'm good luck with that. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you have your, you know, your biracial girls and, you know, you're schooling them. You know what I mean? You're educating them about everything that's going on. I think that's dope. That's dope that all of y'all are doing that. I wish more men would be like you ladies as far as wanting to, you know, like, yo, come on the podcast, you know what I mean? Give me your opinion. You know, a lot of them like, nah, I don't want to do it. And I look at that like, yo, you know, okay, well, you know, y'all are pussies, but I constantly always have women coming on here and wanting to speak the truth. You know what I mean? And that says a lot, but that's a whole other topic for another podcast. All right. And when I talk about that, I'll have all y'all on there. Until then, ladies, keep educating your kids. Keep educating your kids. And all three of y'all, Jackie's not on here. She lost connection. But I say this to Jackie. keep dating black men. All right.
Is that how we do our part? I'll keep doing my part.
That's how y'all are doing your part. All right. They want to sit there and say, oh, y'all are silent. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Just tell them.
I date black men.
Don't even hit them with that. I have black friends. Just say, I date black men. We good. Ladies,
thank you so much
for being on this podcast. It was fun. Have a good night.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye.